Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not as big an issue at the moment in the UK.
No.
I know in the US it's a massive issue. I mean, so Rick, the guy who runs out, we had dinner with him at the Open, and he said California District Council had just placed an order for something like 1.2 million units of owl paddles to basically distribute.
That'll help their bottom line, won't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's big numbers out there. We do, yeah. We're actually the exclusive supplier of them. So.
I think probably because we're indoors here, it's not such an issue because you're contained and you've got your own noise abatement within your venue.
Definitely. I think obviously in indoor courts it's not a problem. But I mean, Rick was saying interestingly, there's other things you can do with them. So I know in the US they have nights at particular clubs, which is kind of silent night. So everyone uses them, and then they have a DJ and like music and that kind of thing. So there's endless possibilities.
But hasn't someone designed a silent ball as well or something? Or in the making?
I've seen a few. I mean, I know Gamma had a librarian ball, but that was more of kind of a spongy thing.
What's a good name? Silence. What sort of marketing department?
I know, there's probably some marketing guy on Seven Figures who came up with that. But no, there's definitely a few. I know Owl themselves were looking at doing a silent ball. And I mean, I imagine like any of these things, once kind of one brand does it, a lot of the other brands will follow suit if it works well.
And obviously you're in the know. I mean, what should we be expecting from sort of the industry within accessories, paddles, everything? Is there anything new coming through that you can share?
In terms of paddles, I know that titanium paddles are soon to be released.
Aren't they supposed to be replacement parts for your body?
So as I think, it was carbon fiber, then obviously kind of raw carbon was the king, and then Kevlar's also now.
Is this why Trump's trying to get the mineral rights for Ukraine so he can build a load of titanium paddles?
Yeah, maybe
that's
who knows
what's going on with that.
titanium is coming.
I know. Is that light titanium? Is it a light alloy?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming the whole paddle's not titanium. So I'm wondering how they kind of create those.
Whose
and
initiative is that then? I assume maybe the big guys, is it?
Yeah, I've spoken to a few of the brands who kind of say that they have those kind of things on the horizon. I mean, it's interesting with paddles. There's always a bit of a battle between, well, as we've seen with Euler recently, with kind of the R&D side and kind of spending that money, but then also kind of the legislations.
Yeah.
So I think Euler have been at the unfortunate end of that.
They've had a couple of paddles banned, haven't they, recently?
They've had.
Being banned, aren't they?
They had the whole Gen 3 range band. We were actually in Florida for the US Open when they first released those paddles. And I remember my dad and I tried them and we were like, something's wrong here.
The trampoline effect?
It was crazy.
Is that they're saying? Because you don't have to do anything and it just...
Yeah, you just hold the paddle and we're not good players and we were made to look like good players using those. Yeah, as I said, you know, interesting dynamic between the big brands with these kind of big budgets really investing that R&D and then the legislation side of things. So, I mean, they're always kind of trying to find a way around it. And then obviously the legislation is saying, well, like, you know, it's unfair on everyone else if these kind of things are being done.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I suppose there's a health and safety issue as well. Eventually, I suppose certain people at a top level, if you're the top sports person, you want the top equipment, isn't it? Any workman wants the best tools.
Yeah.
But, you let some of these things loose with people who maybe aren't as experienced or as skillful could hurt someone.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that side of thing. I mean, if you look at kind of sports equipment on the whole, I mean, there's always these kind of things. Like, you know, look at golf. There's always kind of new technologies, that kind of thing. Football, like anything really, cricket.
Yeah.
There's always kind of progressing technology with these things. But, you know, whether or not they're actually that much better or whether or not it's kind of a lot of it's a marketing thing, who knows? But, I mean, there'll always be new trends, new advancements, that kind of thing within the equipment market.
You wait till they give you those running trainers they use for the marathons now where you bounce along. You could have them in pickleball. I mean, you could be no more lobbing.
What they call the alpha flies. Like even the, I think they're allowed to be used those. And they're crazy. Like you bounce along. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I think the guy who broke the world record, didn't he? He had these.
Yeah.
When he ran in that fan, didn't he? Yeah. He was running behind him, and he was literally just. You get an extra stride sort of every time with a bounce, yeah. And it's like a shock absorber with a spring or like a whatever.
Yeah.
So, what other sports do you participate in? Then, don't you have time if you can't get pickleball in, which obviously can't be your number one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't play as much sport as I used to. I mean, growing up, I was. Anything really, football, cricket, rugby
the lot.
Used to play rackets actually, darts now, golf.
Rackets?
Rackets.
Is that the one Ben Causden plays?
That's the one.
I always get confused because there's rackets and there's another.
There's rackets and racquetball.
That's
which
it.
Confusingly are actually different
sports.
Yeah,
they are different sports, aren't they?
So I used to play that. I remember once we played against a school where Sam Curran, the cricketer, he was playing rackets and I played against him and he was basically playing cover drives, but wow, he was good.
Because I was asking Ben, because Ben was on here a long time ago, and I was asking him, I said, explain it. And he goes, well, basically, if you think of having three squash courts end to end and a ball, it's like a golf ball.
Yeah.
And basically you hit it with a tennis type racket.
It flies. I mean, also the racket head is about that big and it's a tiny little ball.
It's like a squash racket, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great sport to watch when it's played well. So not me, but Ben, for example, when it's played well, it's amazing.
Ben's still world champion.
He is, yeah. I mean, it's a great sport to watch, the rackets. But no, back to the question. I mean, honestly, anything. Like it drives my girlfriend absolutely crazy. I mean, last night I'm on my laptop doing some work. We've got the Champions League in the background, you know.
You're a sports watcher as well.
Big sports watcher.
So my wife's the same. You watch anything, won't you?
Yeah.
I say I watch anything, but I won't really watch horse racing. That's probably the only one I don't watch. Have you ever watched a sport called Kabaddi?
I've heard of Kabaddi. I've never watched. Right.
I think it's big in India where you have to get. Creep over like towards like the no volley zone and there's a team there and then you touch someone and you have to run back and it's just bizarre. But actually when you watch it's quite captivating and their skill level, I mean their ability to move. And I mean the Indians are just embracing pickleball
completely.
I think I heard someone tell me that, you know, it will be the second largest sport behind cricket.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's, well, I spoke to a few of the guys who are out there for the kind of almost IPL type draft thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was crazy. You know, like they couldn't leave the hotel because they were
the World
mobbed.
Pickleball Championship. Was it the World Pickleball Club Championship?
So it was a kind of, you know, eight franchise teams.
That's right. It was like the IPL, wasn't it?
Exactly like the IPL. Yeah. So obviously a few of the English guys were drafted.
Yeah, I know Thaddy was out there and Harry and Molly and they were all there. I saw that because they had these fantastic shirts and tops.
Yeah. But I spoke to Molly and she said, like being in their hotel, they couldn't leave the hotel without almost security. Because even like, obviously Indians are obsessed with kind of, you know, Tendulkers and Kohlis and those.
And they were all becoming superstars.
Exactly. And they were treated like that. You know, they're really going for it out there. And I think obviously, you know, talking about accessibility and ease of play and that kind of thing, it makes complete sense really.
Mm. Well, they've got a huge population, haven't they?
Huge population. It's quite a bit of space in certain parts. So I think it would,
And Indians and Pakistanis have always had a history of being squash and, you know, and hand-eye coordination cricket and stuff. So, I mean, I know they had a bit of presence at the Open and started to surprise a few people.
I remember, I think it was the Open last year, watching the guy whose name I can't remember, he got to the final and I think he lost to Riley DeHart, who was in the top 10 in the world or something.
One of the Americans.
One of the American guys. But he gave him a really good game. Yeah. He'd only been playing for not that long. But, you know, these guys in India apparently are, you know, they're training for 8 hours a day. Like, it's really, really full on over there. They're really going for it.
Aren't they called World Sports or something? There's a guy behind them all. Because I met him. This is what I love about... That's what I love about the sport. I mean, I started this partly to grow the community and it wasn't really going to just be about interviews. It was going to be like a little show, but it's just been about chatting to people. I love it. And I love having a chat with you. I'm really glad you're here. And I think I was reaching out just for a few maybe potential sponsors. And I ended up talking to Jared, you know, and I was talking to Will at Skechers. And anyway, just having a go back and forwards and then emails went dry. And then Jared said, oh, I really want to get involved. And I said, you at the Open? He said, yeah. So I went up to the Open and went on. And I thought, I heard someone say, that's Jared. And I didn't know what he looked like. So I went and introduced my hi, Andy. And then he goes, you need to speak to this guy, right? And I think it was, his name was Humandu. He was a really lovely Indian guy. And then he could come over and he shook my hand and he goes, this is Andy. And he goes, yeah, he does a podcast. And he goes, oh, you need to speak to this guy. And this was,
Were they from Pickleball United?
Yeah. But anyway, this guy had, the guy who said, I need to talk to him at some point during the day. He was wearing long leggings and he was playing.
Yeah.
But he's also, it turns out, he's really big in India, a big businessman, but he's also a Bollywood director.
Oh, really?
And he was a lovely man, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, everyone wants you to do well in whatever it is you're doing and want to support you. And this guy, I saw him a couple of times during the day and he goes to me, make sure you must get him on, you must get him on. But what I don't want to do is I don't really want to do the Zoom type podcast, you know, because everyone does that. And I prefer that. I'm a bit old fashioned. I like looking someone in the eye and getting a bit of emotion and stuff. And so I don't know how that's going to work, but whether getting an invite to India or they can come over to whatever. But it's so great, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. That's, you know, that's one of the reasons why, well, people, we all love pickleball so much is because everyone wants the best for the sport. So, you know, a podcast like this, for example, is great for the community, is great for growing the sport. So everyone will support it.
You know, I was talking to Andy and Rob, you know, they do their pickleball up north, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's a Man United fan.
He is.
Well, one's Man City, one's Man United.
I think Rob's Man U and Andy's Man City.
Rob Rosenfeld, with the glasses. Yeah, he's Man U. I know he's definitely Man U because I think he works there on match days.
He's a very interesting character. Yeah.
He's not a bad pickleball player either.
He's good, very good pickleball player. He was on Coronation Street or something as well. Every time I speak to him, there's, you know, some crazy new fact pops up about him.
It's great. I was saying we should maybe do something one day, but they're very different to mine. This is what I try to say. There's so many people doing different things and you want to try and support that and just and move it along. It's just great. I'm just conscious. See, that's just what I love about it. Time just flies by. So where are you going to be or where are you going to go with the UK Pickleball Shop or the Pickleball Store? I saw the Pickleball Store. There's two names, the UK Pickleball Shop and the Pickleball Store.
So where the UK Pickleball Shop's ours, Pickleball Store's Lloyd.
No, but I thought on Company's House, there was the Pickleball Shop as well. Did you rename it maybe? I don't know.
I think when we started in terms of... Yeah, there was some complication with namings, that thing. So we had to start another
I didn't want to get you into trouble. You need to work on your Dupa, by the way. You know, your reliability score is very low.
My Dupa score?
Your reliability, because you know how Dupa works, you know, the more you play, but there's a little circle that says, like, if it's up to date, it's 100, and it's like, yours is quite low now, it's around the red mark and 5, so actually people don't really know what your Dupa rating is, because they might think, you play a lot, but you've not, it could be higher.
Well, I am actually as of the Nationals, a medal holder. So I was the bronze medalist in the Men Without Partners doubles league.
Without Partners. So no ranking.
So
no rating.
I don't think it affected rating. And also, please don't ask how many players took part, because then that would expose me.
Anyway, I'm a bronze medalist in the men's 4.0 in the Open. And don't ask how many people were in there.
I think there was a 50% chance of me getting a medal. Let's just leave it at that.
But it's great, isn't it? Yeah. I just love it. Do you play singles?
I do play singles, yeah. I mean, I think I'm probably a better singles player. You know, I haven't got the patience for doubles.
You're not?
No. And when Harvey and I played at the Open, I think he's even less patient than me. So it was kind of, you know, he would try and whack it and then I'd think, oh, now I want to get a murderer. So we lost so many points, which we could have won just by lack of patience. But yeah, I enjoy singles. I think, well, as you mentioned before, it's more similar to tennis, really, isn't it? It's a very different game.
And also you've got no one to blame.
Yeah.
You've got no one to blame, have you? You're a lone wolf out there and it's like, hey.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time I'd hit it into the net, I'd be like, oh, well, Harvey, you did that dink. And, you know,
I asked Louis, I said, Louis, look, if I play singles, what advice would you give? He said, hit it as hard and deep as quick as, and win a point as quick as you can.
Yeah, that's it. End the point as quickly as you can.
And whereas when we had doubles, and we've been very lucky as a club, we've had Thaddeus down coaching, we've had Louis down, we've had Molly down, we've had Gillian from London Pickleball, and you know, I think I remember Thadia the first time she came down to our club, must have been maybe 18 months ago, whatever, quite early doors. She goes, she just asked us all a question. So how many shots do you think you play in a point?
Yeah.
You know, she goes, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, and we all go, oh,
yeah,
5 to 10, 10, 15.
Yeah, 100.
She went, 0 to 5, you watch. But by the end of the evening, right, and she was quite right, by the end of the evening, we were up to between 10 and 15, you know, rally shots between a point. And we had this coaching session, and on the far end of the club were doing their own thing. And then she said, now have a look over there. And you looked and you went, serve, return, bank, over and four. You know, and you're going, wow, it's really interesting to go how quickly. And you watch these pros and you watch them and then you think, because we were always talking serving and deep and stuff. And you watch them, they get their serve in, they don't do anything clever, they return it deep, and then third shots always land, and then they just sort of stroll in.
Yeah.
And then it's just a dink war.
I mean, doubles, especially top levels, it's very tactical. Like,
yeah.
You know, watching it, you kind of, it's mistake avoidance really, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I know, well, Lou, for example, at London Pickleball, you'll never see her hit a winner, but she'll win most of her points. Like, it's just, you're patient.
Well, that's what they breed though in London Pickleball, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was all about playing a soft game. And I know the game started getting quicker, didn't it?
And that's the thing. And I think, you know, the game historically has always kind of been that way, and obviously with a kind of an influx of tennis players, yeah, it has moved a little bit more towards the kind
game,
of the bashers, and yeah, who don't have much of a soft game. But I think, yeah, the soft game is, yeah, you know, I'm a cricket fan, I'd say it's like test cricket, you know.
Yeah.
it's the beauty of the game.
Yeah.
which yeah, I hope it stays that way.
I think it will. Do you think, I mean, I think I asked a question a long time ago, do you think they might, you know, people might look at the rules to try and keep that sort of ethos of spirit, because I think, you know, power can overtake everything, can't it? You know,
yeah,
you know, it happened in tennis, didn't it?
Yeah.
The days when people just serve and volley and it was, points were over, and
yeah,
now you get people staying on the baseline and you got longer rallies. And, you know, there was a question of like, do you like to prefer watching men? It's more exciting than watching the ladies, but now the game's changed again.
Yeah. I mean, how do you regulate it? I mean, I suppose equipment is a thing. Like, you know, if you look at golf, for example, you know, 2-3 years ago, the kind of longest hitters would be winning because they'd hit their drive and have kind of 50 yards. They've obviously made a few changes on the equipment side of things, which has now somewhat changed it.
Yeah.
And I think really, other than those changes, it's kind of hard. You can't stop, if someone wants to whack it, you can't really stop them playing that way.
No.
Other than, I suppose, trying to coach them into doing otherwise.
Maybe make the balls heavier and...
Yeah, I mean, travel, I guess, yeah.
You know, technically, but yeah.
It's difficult to stop, and it's been particularly, you know, if someone has a tennis background, they come in and they start winning a few games, it's hard to kind of stop them playing that way. But yeah, I'd like to think if it continues going that way, there'll be some kind of changes to prevent it.
So where would you like to see Pickleball Shop and Pickleball in the next 5 years?
Well, starting with the
Pickleball... Still in it, obviously.
Yeah, still in it. Starting with UK Pickleball Shop, I mean, we want to maintain our number one position in the UK and obviously extend that into Europe.
Yeah.
In terms of pickleball as a whole, you know, as I mentioned before, the last kind of 2 years have been everyone learning about pickleball, hearing about it. The next kind of 2 to 5 years, everyone playing it. You know, schools particularly, I think there's a massive opportunity in schools with pickleball.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go across the UK, I want there to be pickleball and everyone be playing, and, you know, really kind of expanding it through.
It's so easy though for schools, isn't it? Because every school has a sports hall. That's the thing. And even if you haven't got badminton courts, you can just get some tape and mark it out, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean, for kids, it's the perfect game. You know, it's tennis, the courts are far too big. In terms of a racket sport, you know, it's
tennis
easy to play.
Too big as well.
Tennis
racket's
way
young,
too big. So,
yeah.
You know, you can get a few kids. You could probably get more than four kids on the majority of courts. Get them playing. Get them hitting the ball. You know, they don't have to be dinking straight away, but as long as they're playing and enjoying
it. But even that's a great way to start, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Play a little game. Look, you know,
yeah.
10 times over the net, please. You know, just a little game like that is brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I suppose longer term, particularly looking at what's happening in the US, obviously it started with a kind of older demographic. Now kind of younger kids, then through to kind of college pickleball, there's a huge kind of route there now. So hopefully over the next few years, by getting schools into it, that kind of thing will start to happen as well.
Yeah, see, that's what I like to hear. Because, I mean, it's like, it's a pathway to, I before the governance issue was resolved, you know, I felt like, why are LTA fighting this? Because at the end of the day, I think if you start kids young with any sort of racket,
Yeah.
And then you've captured them and then let them decide, go off to tennis, go off to paddle, go off to badminton, go off to squash or whatever. But, you know, you've got a racket in your hand and it, similar skills, holding a paddle and whatever it is, they're the same skill set, isn't it? Hitting the ball, hand-eye coordination. Why don't we work together? Start grassroots at school, make it accessible, every school.
Absolutely. I mean, there's absolutely a world where all these racket sports can coexist.
Of course they can.
You know, like, and I'm sure a lot of pickleball players play a bit of tennis in the summer. You know, there's absolutely ways in which they can all coexist. But I think, for kids in particular, pickleball is the perfect way in to any racket sport, really.
Yeah.
As well as obviously then continuing to play and, you know, joining a club and that kind of thing. So it's there's a real opportunity there, we think.
But also I think it just gets every kid involved. I remember when I was at Hurst, we used to, in the athletics season, we used to have a thing called standards.
Yeah.
And every member of the school had to go out on a Monday afternoon and do a standard. So you get a substandard or a standard, and it was a challenge. And once you'd got, I don't know, four or five, you didn't have to carry on.
Yeah.
But what it generated was wonderful. Okay, all us sporty people actually got ours quite quickly. Within about 2 weeks, you'd got it and you didn't have to do it anymore. But you'd go out and you'd be supporting, and it was every age group from, you know, the secondary school to 12, 13, all the way up to 18. You'd be out supporting your house member. Saying, come on, you know, whatever this, you know, the label some kid who was a geeky guy, you know, didn't, was maybe slightly overweight and didn't do a lot of sport, but he had to go and do it, and you were supporting him to get out there and do it. And it's a simple thing like, listen, I'm not asking you to run around and do it. Here's a paddle, here's a ball, can you just hit it over the net? Just do that a few times and see if you can do it 10 times.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, there's so many, obviously mentioning schools, there's so many kind of other demographics who pickleball is perfect for.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking to a lot of girl mates, for example, who would have played a little bit of sport at school, but it might have gone to university, maybe done a tiny bit. A lot of those people, by the time they leave university, you know, starting a job or something, kind of give up on sports.
Yeah, just end up in the gym, don't they?
Yeah, running or the gym or something. Yeah. But if you look at pickleball, it's perfect. You know, they can go along with four friends, they can make it as relaxed, as enjoyable as they want. There's not really any sports in which they can do that. So that's...
It's better than going to the gym on your own, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. You know, running can be a little bit difficult at times, let's say.
It's not offensive on your body either, is it? I mean, that's...
Exactly, yes. You know, I think that I think also going forward, you know, there's going to be, if you look at America, you've got kind of pickle and chicken, I think it's called, which are these kind of social places for pickleball. I think looking at the London market where you've got, say, Bounce for table tennis or Flight Club for darts.
Yes.
There's definitely...
Have you ever been to Flight Club?
I have, yeah.
It's good fun, isn't it?
It's great, yeah.
The problem is you get a bit worse than that.
Yeah.
Because the more you drink.
Well, with darts, a lot of the time you get better, actually.
Do you know what? I can verify that, because when I used to live in the Middle East when I was younger, and my parents had a friend called Harry. Don't know if he's alive anymore, but he used to play darts. He was quite good. But the more he drank, the better he got.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And darts used to be like that, didn't it, with Jockey Wilson? The more they drank and...
My mum got me a book about darts for Christmas. And he was saying, just talking about, you know, how much the sports change. Yeah. And there was a story where, this must have been back in the 80s or 90s, and it was Jockey Wilson versus someone else. And one of the players was just about to throw, and he had his cigarette and he didn't have a lighter. So the other player went and lit his cigarette for him. And the commentator goes, oh, isn't that just great to see that sportsmanship? And it's just,
well, it begs the question, no. So what defines a sport? Because someone used to say to me, is darts a sport? Is snooker a sport?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I've always said darts is absolutely a sport. It's any, well, I always used to say it's something that can be competed in and measured. But that doesn't, you know, then I suppose like Monopoly.
There was a period when there was a discussion for me. It was like, if you have to change your footwear, then it's a sport.
Yeah.
Whereas snooker, you don't.
Yeah. Well, there's the big one at the moment that keeps going on, which is the 147-9 darter hole in one, which is the most difficult. What do you reckon?
So I think a 147 is probably the hardest one because you've got more balls to play.
Yeah.
But a hole in one, I mean, it's tricky. I don't know if you saw Bryson DeChambeau did something where he was doing, I think it was in January.
Over his house,
a glass house, wasn't it? Yeah. And he had one ball for the day of the month.
Yeah.
And then he went 1, 2, 3. And it took him 16 days, 134 shots. And then he finally got a hole in one.
Yeah.
But the irony was that he then invited some guy to come along, and I think he offered him 100 grand. He had eight hours to have a go on his fifth shot. He got a hole in one.
I saw that. Yeah, well, it was
brilliant.
I saw Paddy Power did a thing where they had Luke Humphreys and Van Gerwen, and it was like a kind of 8 hours, and they were basically throwing darts. I think they had, I can't remember the snooker players or golf players they have. Basically, they were all just doing it for 8 hours. Yeah. And interestingly, the only one they got was a 147. So they couldn't get a 9 darter, they couldn't get a hole in one, but they did get a 147.
They didn't have Luke Littler, did they?
Well, they had Luke Humphreys.
Yeah, but true,
and
yeah.
Van Gerwen, but I mean...
But look at, see, that's, isn't that great? So someone like Luke Littler, who comes along at 16 years old, you know, gets to the final and loses, and then at 17, he wins the World Championship. And it's like, even I was captured, you know, I always watch any sport, but a bit like you probably, you turn on and you go, oh, I'll watch a bit of that. And this young lad was just smashing it. And you go, suddenly the sale of dart awards went up and all these young kids. And I didn't realize there's a junior league, there's a world junior league and stuff. Yeah. And there's some, and again, like pickleball, it needs role models, isn't it? And that's why I love, you know, like Louis and Thaddeus, you know, they're just fantastic ambassadors for the sport.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and Molly, all of them actually, they've all got something about them, and they're all, I don't know about you, but one of my recollections of the Open was, and I said to Frank, what was lovely was that the pros weren't just playing on the show court. They were playing on the outside courts next to us, mere mortals. And occasionally they had big crowds and there was a cheer, and you think that cheer was for your shot. No one was watching. But the fact is, it created a wonderful atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It wasn't that sort of distance noise over there going, oh, what's that cheer over there?
Yeah.
You know, it's amongst you, and you felt, oh.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I remember with James and Thaddeus, so we had probably 2 summers ago, we had a thing at our house where it was essentially a retirement party for the previous owners.
Right.
So we invited down, you know, Karen, Lou, and we had James and Thaddeus down. And this was when my younger sister had kind of just got into pickleball. So I remember we kind of had very mini festival, had like some lunch kind of thing. So we were all upstairs, like, you know, kind of having drinks, having a barbecue. And then James Thardia and my sister, who was probably 12 at the time, they played for 4 hours straight or something, to the point where it was dark, which just says, you know, the kind of people they are, that they would do that with a, you know, enthusiastic 12-year-old.
Well, they're supporting the PPL with the Challenger League, isn't it? It's like bringing some players through. Even like, you know, Molly's got her academy and stuff, isn't it? And they're just, I mean, that's what you need though, isn't it? You get the youngsters involved and young girls. I mean, gosh, I'm a parent of 3 boys, but to have an elite sport for girls now with cricket, you know, cricket, rugby, tennis, anything, there is the opportunities out there, and you're just like,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so we sponsor the Molly's Academy because we're kind of so passionate about that kind that demographic of people, as I mentioned. You're having
Spicy pickleball,
yeah. You know, having 3 sisters, as I said, I think pickleball is the perfect sport to either, well, get girls into sport, or certainly kind of girls who have previously played sport and then maybe stop, getting them back into it. It's the perfect sport for that.
Yeah. Oh, long may it continue. I think there's some great people out there, and you know, long. So, well, what can I say? Red Nose Day coming up. Are you going to come along? Will you have time?
21st of March, is it?
Friday the 21st. Comic relief.
I am actually on a stag do. I've got my first ever stag do, Andy, on the 21st.
You're of that
March.
Age now where your mates are starting to get married, aren't you?
I know. Well, it's my first one, and I'm pretty nervous for it, God. So I'm not sure you would want me to be.
Are you
there.
Just a participant, or are you a best man?
No, I'm very much a participant. I think there's about 30 of us going, which includes actually the bride and groom's kind of parents and aunties and uncles.
Okay.
And we're all staying in an Airbnb.
Where are you off to?
We're off to Lisbon, and we're all staying in an Airbnb, which has got 30 beds, the majority of which are bunk beds.
Oh, it's
so I'm a little bit intrigued how that dynamic's going to work.
That weekend, is it?
That weekend, yeah.
Well, so, your dad came last year. Is it,
yeah.
Maybe we can get your dad down again.
Definitely. I think he actually is going to Turkey for one of Sam's coaching trips. I think that might be the same weekend, but if not, I'm sure he'll be down.
We're going to Turkey in end of May, beginning of June for a week with Rob and stuff at one of the Pollatt's one. Yeah.
Might be the same one. I need to check. I know. I think he's away at the same time, but
a couple of hours pickleball in the morning, rest of the day off till the evening. Yeah. And then it's what a great concept.
Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I think that like the holiday pickleball market is.
Well, there's
be
that.
Huge.
Julie Mack, he's got this one in the Maldives.
I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, it's just endless, isn't it? It's like.
Yeah.
Let's do one in Bognor or something. Lloyd's going to do one in the Isle of Wight. Come over to the Isle of Wight. He's got a court. I've seen it.
You've
seen
his
court. He's got a little door that looks like it's going to an office, and then he's made up a court in the
I've
back
seen
room.
It. It's great. I mean, so we've got one in the village near us, which has got, so it's like a big dome almost.
Well, this where Dad lives?
Or yeah, and it's got, so you go in and there's at the back, there's a double-decker bus. It's got like a viewing platform at the top, and then it's just got a little indoor court. So I think like Sam and I know Rob have done a bit of coaching there. But I can imagine the look on people's faces when they kind of walk in and see the double-decker bus is a bit like, what's going on here? But yeah, cool. I mean, I'm sure there's massive potential for like those kind of small one-court arenas. They're really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Maisie, and like she said, she did a hen do down in Basingstoke. You know, stag do's. You know, where'd you take your stag? Do a bit of pickleball one day, and then off. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said when I have a stag do, I want to have like an activity based one. So maybe you know, Florida pickleball, that could be the one.
Nice to travel.
Yeah.
Is there anything coming to the future? Because your girlfriend might watch this. You never know.
Yeah.
Careful what you say. You know, it's recorded.
We can edit this bit out.
Yeah, we can. So before we finish, so your highlight, so in this sort of your career of what, 2.5 years of pickleball or running the shop and stuff, and what you've seen so far, any highlights?
Lots of highlights. I mean, the Open is always a massive highlight. You know, I think that kind of showcases everything that pickleball is in the UK. You know, it's an amazing festival.
Isn't it?
It really is, like every year. So that's always a highlight. You know, from a kind of shop point of view, you know, there's lots of things we've done over the last 2 years, which we're incredibly proud of. You know, the recycled paddle scheme. Yeah. We've got an emerging talent scheme that we've kind of launched at the moment, which is looking at getting younger players who aren't perhaps quite at the level of, say, being sponsored, like helping them with, you know, not just equipment, but also, along with Sam Basford, kind of looking at coaching, looking at, you know, more the mental side of the game, that kind of thing. So those schemes are real hard. You know, our club reward scheme as well is something we're really proud of. That's essentially an almost loyalty scheme for clubs, something that we launched about a year and a half ago, and we've got nearly 300 clubs signed up now. So that's
how does that work?
So you have your kind of club representative, they will sign up for the scheme. You get provided a discount code that you can share with club members. And then every time someone uses that code to buy something, they kind of earn loyalty points.
Okay.
Which can then be used to, you know, mainly consumables, balls, nets, that kind of thing. Paddles, say for beginners. So really proud of those schemes. But, you know, I think lots of things to be proud of. And I mean, I just think, you know, the way the sport has grown over the last 2 years, although obviously, you know, none of that is down to us. Just seeing that journey has been really amazing.
It's on an upgrade. We're only at the bottom of the curve, aren't we?
Well, I mean, I suppose all you can go off is the US, and obviously different game in the sense of the weather and, you know, land space. But, you know, if it can become anything like it is in the US, then
they say we're always about 2 years behind the Americans, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You hear anything kind of, I've heard anything from kind of 5-10 years to 6 months.
Yeah.
So it depends. But I think, you know, if we can make the sport anything like it is in the US, we're in for a real journey.
And yet in the US, it's sort of East and West Coast. Because Dom, who come and did the commentary workshop at the Open, he said his parts from America still have no idea what pickleball is. You know, it's Florida, it's seasonal. They sort of go across, and then it's sort of, they move from one side to the other over the season. But he said, like, in the middle America, he sort of said, like, people wouldn't have a clue, you know. If what's his name? The top guy, Youngs.
Ben Johns.
Ben Johns. Yeah. I don't know why Youngs. I'm thinking of Ben Youngs, rugby player. Walked into a Walmart in the middle, and no one would know who he is. And he sort of said, that's why he needs a bit of, you know, come back to reality. I know he's paid a lot of money, but, you know, it's still 36 million people playing pickleball in the US.
And I mean, it's...
Well, 65,000 or something.
Yeah, it was bigger than tennis and golf last year in the US from, well, from what I've read anyway. I mean, it's not even... I mean, they, you know, they always say it's the fastest growing sport, and it's... That's almost not doing it justice. It's not just a growing sport. It's genuinely established as one of the biggest sports in the US now.
Have you heard the figure? Well, I was told $7 billion sort of global turnover by 2033 for pickleball.
I have seen that. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. It's going in that direction, especially obviously looking at kind of India and potentially China as well.
Yeah.
If they get into it, which in India they already are, China, there's kind of beginning there, then, you know, it's just going to spread like a wildfire. It really is. You know, there's endless opportunities.
And, you know, just going back to your schemes that you've been doing, so the recycling balls, what do they need to do?
So
just collect them?
Yeah, collect balls. I mean,
segregate them, or
we can do the segregating. I mean, it's a pain, so we'll do that ourselves. But yeah, we collect at all kind of tournaments and festivals we go to, obviously mainly the English Nationals, the Open. But yeah, if people could collect and then either, you know, send them to us, send them to the warehouse where it's being made, that would be brilliant. You know, right. We're really passionate about the scheme, and I think, you know, any kind of growth, particularly in grassroots of the sport, is brilliant.
And those youngsters that you were supporting with Sam and that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I suppose it's why it's important to get these venues open, because I imagine it's quite difficult for Sam and that. Where do they go and coach them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you know, Sam and the coaches are great at kind of traveling around at the moment. But yeah, hopefully longer term, we'll be in a position where that doesn't have to happen, you know, where there'll be centres and places to play, which there are now, but, you know, specific pickleball centres.
It's coming.
It is coming.
It's definitely coming. What's that saying? Build it, they will come.
Exactly.
And I think on that note, Freddie, we'll call it a day. But thanks ever so much. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much for having me on, Andy. Much appreciated.